No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host, Kathleen Gomez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the discussion by calling in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, or Skype us at BBS Radio 1. We have a great guest with us tonight, Brandon Skahl, CEO and co-founder of DC Brow Brewing Company here in the nation's capital. We're going to talk to him about starting a business, living in Washington, politics, and how he's working to make his community a better place to live for all of us. We, of course, want to know what you think, so please call in 888-628-6008 or Skype us with your questions. Before I go any further, however, let me introduce my co-host, Kathleen, who is now back in Kansas. She moves around so much, I'm beginning to think she's in the witness protection program. What's going on, Kathleen? When are you coming back to D.C.?
I'll be back in D.C. tomorrow. But, you know, yeah. I have to get out of D.C. to clear my head, you know, to get, you know, back in touch with my people in Kansas and Arizona. So, you know, because D.C. can be, you know, can be a little bit too much, and you got to kind of settle down. So that's why I have to leave. But I'm glad to be coming back tomorrow. And you have an announcement to make, don't you, Michael?
Yes, today's a very special day. Before we get started, and before Kathleen introduces our special guest, a shout out to Nick Brown. My son turns 20 today. I can't believe it. It seems like just yesterday that we were pulling peanuts out of his nose, and you know,
I remember the peanuts.
Yeah, teaching him how to ride a bike. So congratulations, Nicholas. We miss you, son. I love you. He's away at college in Olympia, Washington. I hope you're having a great day, and we can't wait to see you again. So enjoy the day and happy birthday.
Yes, and we know, of course, he's probably spending this day watching us or listening to us on the radio, don't you think? That's what he's doing?
Yeah, we're absolutely sure of that. His mother and I couldn't even get a hold of him today to sing happy birthday to him. You know?
But I'm sure he's doing that. He's listening now, so
he has caller ID, so we'll have to use somebody else's phone to call him. But, yeah, I'm sure he's listening in. So happy birthday, son.
Hey, listen, one more thing before we introduce Brandon Skahl. We have kind of an event going on this Thursday, Emancipation
Yay!
Day, April 16th. And for all you people who love beer, you should order beer, but also a civil disobedience. It's just going to be showcasing on Thursday. It's a martini made of D.C.'s own vodka distiller. What is it? District Vodka. Blackberry brandy.
Brandy, yep.
Lime and what a little bit of what was it you called it in there?
Righteous Indignation.
There you go. And it's going to
be a celebrity bartender.
That's
Come
right.
out and see us.
And for every drink bought, there's a dollar that's going to go to Statehood Now, which is the new not-for-profit that you created for Statehood. And it's going to be showcased at Argonaut Tavern, Comet Ping Pong Pizza.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Capital Lounge.
Capital Lounge, H Street,
Country Club, yeah.
Country Club, right. I'm in Kansas, so I'm trying to remember everything. Vendetta,
right.
Busboys and Poets.
And DC9.
And DC9.
So come out to one of those bars and order a DC Brow to get warmed up, and then order a Civil Disobedience.
That's right, just to make you really, you know, just kind of get a little crazy. And remember what we're fighting for, which is statehood, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so now this is a
And perfect. our slogan has been for a while that every great revolution started in a tavern somewhere.
That's correct, somewhere.
Let's start a new revolution.
All right, and with that, I can't think of a better time to introduce our guest, which is CEO of DC Brow, Brandon Scull. Hi, Brandon. How are you doing?
Are you with us, Brandon?
Did we lose you?
What's that, Senator?
Oh, there you are.
We're just introducing you. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me out on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for being on.
And you have a new addition to your family, right, Brandon?
I do. You might hear her in the background from time to time tonight. We got a new little baby girl, and her name is Warren. She's 3 weeks old, and she's doing really good.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations. And,
thank you.
You know, poor Kathleen only has sons. I am fortunate enough to have sons and daughters. And daughters are just, they're just great. You know, they love their dads, and they play you like a record. It's all worth it in the end. They're wonderful. And when I have two girls and a boy, and when we had our second girl, I said to my wife, "This is perfect. In about 15 years, when I'm not liking you anymore, they won't be liking you either." So you know, get an ally later in life against mom. Congratulations.
We're really thrilled. We have a boy for our first and a girl for our second. So
yeah.
We were very blessed.
That's a very good combination. Very good. So, Brandon, tell us what DC Brow is.
Yeah, so DC Brow is the very first production package brewing facility in the district since 1956. The prior brewery that was here, Christian Heirich Brewing Company, closed its doors in 1956. And nobody really opened up since then. It was a big drought for locally produced beer here in the capital. We had some brew pubs as early as the early 90s, but nothing sort of producing beer for the city as a whole and sort of for the outlying regions that was originating in the nation's capital.
Well, you know, I don't know a lot about the history of beer. I'm sure you know way more than I do, but this seems to me to have, you know, that period that you're talking about was a real change, because didn't breweries used to be local? I mean, I grew up in North New Jersey, and we had several brewers that made national brands like Pabst and Schlitz and Budweiser, but we also had a lot of local breweries, but I don't remember, you know, when I got old enough to drink, I don't remember that being the case. I mean, we didn't have any around Washington. Rolling Rock was like a, you know, a boutique. That was as close as we got to a local beer.
Yeah, and when I became drinking age, there was Foggy Bottom, actually, which is probably the closest that we had to a local beer. But that was actually brewed on contract at other breweries, other places in the country, just mainly marketed towards Washington, D.C. And that brewery was actually owned and operated by the grandson of Christian Heirich, who did own the last brick-and-mortar brewing facility here in the district back in the 50s. But to really go into an era where there was multiple breweries in the district, you're looking at you know, something prior to Prohibition, really. So it's been a long time since we've had this sort of movement back in town, and I'm very proud to say that in the 4 years since we opened our doors, we now have several similar brewing facilities here in the district. So we're really witnessing a great boom, for manufacturing in the district, which is not something that there is a lot of, some great job creation in the district. And also, you know, companies like this, I feel they really help to grow a lot of hometown pride. So it's really an honor to be associated with this, and just also to be a part of this growing industry here.
How many employees do you have?
So right now we've got 25, and we are looking to, we're in the hiring process right now for about 7 more employees.
That's
so we'll
fantastic.
Be nearing 30 and or slightly surpassing it within the next few weeks here.
Well, I just want to throw this out there that Kathleen's looking for a job, and I've seen her drink beer, and I don't know what her skills are, but she's a good beer drinker.
I'm a better tequila drinker.
If you need somebody to test your product, Kathleen's your girl.
Quality assurance is a very important part of what we do, so we do need to make sure that we've got people testing the beer, not just
there
at the street level, but at the brewery as well, which I'm pretty good at that part of it as well.
Well, let me say one thing about DC Brow that has impressed me from the day I heard about you guys and I looked into who you were and what you do is that you're not only providing jobs in our community and building community pride by having a business here, but you guys are really involved in the community. You get involved in lots of causes in our community and you know, that I think really sets you apart and really makes you a really distinctive business that we should all support. We all know that very, very large businesses do this, national businesses do this, but it's more unusual to have a local business that gets involved in the community, and you guys have really, really done that. What motivates you to do that?
Well, you know, Senator, I think it has a lot to do with the people we are and the experience that we had growing up in the district. Jeff and I are both, from right around the district. I went to high school, I was born in D.C., went to high school in D.C., Jeff right up in Montgomery County. The city was always something that we really appreciated growing up. And when we started this company, the idea here was not to just capitalize on this city, but to really showcase what we loved about the city and give back to the city. The whole idea was that Washington, D.C. should have this brewing identity. There's places across the country that aren't even cities that have got breweries in them and that people flock to come visit the breweries, and then the capital of our country should have it as well. And in celebrating that culture, we also wanted to give back to the community. I think to put the name of, to put D.C. in our name and not be community-oriented or have goals focused on giving back to the community would be sort of fake. And we never wanted to be those people. We always wanted to, if we're going to talk the talk, walk the walk too. So we find ourselves involved with a lot of local charities, doing whatever we can. We can't always, do what everybody wants, but we do our best to accommodate. In fact, we've actually, this past year, added an entire page to the website that's just to receive sort of charitable options, charitable donations, and then we're able to internally handle what we can do and what we can't. We found that when we were just sort of doing it off the cuff, it was really too much for us to handle, but by organizing it like that, it's been a lot easier.
Well, you're doing a great job, and I know that you've gotten some accolades. DC Vote gave you an award for your work on DC statehood, which you understand is near and dear to our hearts. And I know that other people have recognized you. Kathleen, are you still with us? You got another great question? Or have you started pasting the beer already?
No, I'm always waiting for my opportunity because you love to talk, Senator. So, I'm just always waiting for that little gap so I can jump in. I guess one of the things that impresses me about DC Brow is that you guys are a small business and what small businesses do, because on our show we've talked a lot about the middle class disappearing, and I see it in Arizona, maybe not so much in Kansas, but when I travel, and I've always talked to Michael about how this is a concern, and I think when I hear about these small businesses that are so community involved and are into hiring, locals that are from the local area, I just think, that's what drives America. I mean, did you find it hard or easy to start a business in D.C.?
Well, it wasn't necessarily the easiest, but it wasn't the hardest. And that might sound like a cop out of an answer, but the truth is that we were starting a business that hadn't existed here for a number of years, over a half a century. So a lot of the surrounding laws dealing with our business were very outdated, very antiquated. So it was up to us to sort of modernize these laws. And, you know, we found a lot of resistance at first. But once we started working with the council, explaining to them the updates that we've had in other parts of the country and how this allows us to do business easier, better, be more profitable and more sustainable, we were greeted very warmly by our council members here in the district, and they helped us to make some of those changes. And we're still making those changes. And this is one of the reasons I think we've seen this business, not just for us, but other entrepreneurs, you know, blossom as well. We've changed restrictions that allowed us to not offer tastings in the sample room, not sell growlers to the general public. For us, obviously, a business that does most of its cash flow in wholesale, you know, we pay a premium to our distributors and whatnot in order to sell through them. Whereas selling a little bit of beer, even just a teeny bit, directly to the consumer is much more profitable for us. So these inroads have allowed us in this whole industry to sort of blossom. And I just want to touch real quick on something the senator said when he was talking about small businesses, you know, giving back to the community. I think it can be challenging for a small business to give back to the community. And one of our goals is, instead of giving away tons of money or beer or whatever, but to be a catalyst for other people to be inspired, for other people to get involved, for other people to donate. And I think being in the position of being a brewery, we have this unique opportunity where we can actually get in touch with a lot of people. A lot of people are interested in beer. So that's, you know, with the whole statehood sort of work that we do, it's more for us educating people. You know, it's great to raise a lot of money, but just to get people the knowledge of what's going on in the Capitol with statehood, or what's not going on with statehood, to be more exact, is a big deal for us. A lot of times I find, especially when I leave the area, and unfortunately sometimes even in the area, people don't really get it. They don't understand what it means to not have those rights. They don't understand what it means to not have your vote mean what it might mean 2 miles away across the river. And a lot of times, you know, the response is, well, you choose to live in the district, so you do this to yourself or whatnot. And that's just sort of coming from an uneducated point of view. So what we try to do with our branding and our cans is sort of just educate people, let them know how they can find out more information. You know, putting little facts on the cans, like on the back of the citizen can, we mentioned that people didn't have the right to vote for president here until the early 60s, I think 1963. And that's something that always shocks people when they read that on the back of the can.
Always shocks.
And it's those sort of moments where I think we can be effective, where we can help. So, you know, making a change or being community-oriented isn't always about dollars and cents. Sometimes it's just about taking a look at what you can offer a situation and trying to be as effective as you can.
Right, and I think you guys are doing a great job at that. And for people that don't understand how it works in D.C., you know, I think you guys have a real opportunity here, because D.C. really isn't like, Washington, D.C. isn't really like other East Coast cities. We really don't have much manufacturing. You know, when you talk about the lack of breweries in the district, we don't have a whole lot of manufacturing of any kind in the district.
Yep.
You know, I grew up as a kid in Newark, New Jersey, and Newark was a big manufacturing center for New York City, and Baltimore and Philadelphia, and all these cities in the Northeast have a kind of an industrial base, but Washington, D.C. doesn't. Our industry is government. So getting small industry going in the District of Columbia is not only an important thing for us, but it's unique, and it seems, I think you're absolutely right, that it seems to be happening more and more and more, and you guys are at the forefront of this. And if I'm not mistaken, this week on Wednesday, isn't this your anniversary? Didn't you start?
Yes, it is. It is
April
15th?
And how many years
now? Less, yes. yeah, this will be our four-year anniversary. We're very proud. We launched 4 years ago at a place called Meridian Pint that was in the Columbia Heights area, and we're very proud to you know, be celebrating our 4 year anniversary this year.
Now, are you located in? You're not in Columbia Heights anymore, are you? Or
no. We've only had one location the whole time. We did our launch party at this bar/restaurant Meridian Pint over there, but But we've been located the entire time on Bladensburg Road. So we are on Bladensburg Road, right past South Dakota. It's the 20018 area code. I guess technically Fort Lincoln, although some would say Woodridge, right on the railroad tracks. We started with about 6,700 square feet, and now we have 22,000 square feet in that building.
Ah, that's incredible. That's such great growth.
We took a tour of your brewery, and it's really cool. Of course, at the time, Kathleen was probably testing beer, so she's forgotten exactly where it was located.
I have drinking as much as you say I have, I would be really feeling good.
I don't know, but we're going to frisk you when you come back and make sure you didn't stuff a couple of six-packs in your purse or something. But yeah, it's a really cool facility. And I really think it takes a commitment on your part, because there's got to be cheaper places where you could have brewed your beer. But to do it here in the district, I think is really great. And I think it says something about the character of your company. And, I just want to point out that I ran my own small business for 25 years. So I know a few of the statistics. And one of them is that most businesses fail in their first year. And very few businesses make it to 4 or 5 years. So this is a big
benchmark.
Benchmark for you guys. And I'm glad to see you're getting there and getting it done.
Let me ask a question before we break into intermission, whatever. You know, Michael just felt like he should have known. But can you explain what you guys do with the crawl? Is it the growler kind of thing where you have
growler hours? Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Explain that.
So I mentioned earlier that it's really important to us as breweries here in the district to be able to have people to our brewery. We're able to sell them beer at a price where we're able to capture more profit than when you sell it through the wholesaler. We're also able to sort of reach out and make a personal connection with people, I think, when they come to the brewery. And, you guys, when you saw it, I think you've got it. When you walk into the brewery, you can see that, we really started this place on a shoestring budget 4 years ago. And all of our growth has been, as we've grown, growing here out of cash flow, finally able to, in order to get loans. I mean, it was several years before a bank would even give us a loan. You can see that when you walk through the brewery. You see each of the add-ons as they came on. You see sort of that our office is in the tasting room. I mean, we just didn't have any extra space when we started. And the office is still there right now. But you could come in on a Saturday. You can meet us, meet some of the folks who brew the beer. They're always hanging around. Also, you can purchase beer in growlers, which are these jugs that are 64 ounces. We've also got 32-ounce jugs. And you can come right in, fill up your jug with whatever style of beer you like. We'll wrap it up for you, and you can head on home with it and bring it back. Refill that jug over and over and over, so you're not contributing to any extra packaging waste or ever not throwing out cans if you don't want to. You can come back and just reuse that jug over and over, and we're always happy to entertain you and give you a tour of the brewery.
Hey, I know what we're going to be doing on, what is it, Saturday or Friday?
It's every Saturday. So we're open more days during the week now, but Saturday is when we sort of do our big event every week.
All right.
I'll drop you off on Friday, Kathleen, so you can be first.
You can come on down on Friday.
There you go. I'll be there.
On Thursday.
Am I wrong, Brandon, or is this another throwback thing that you guys are doing? Didn't they used to do this in local breweries? I know that my father-in-law talks about going to a local bar and for his mother and getting beer that way.
It's really popular right now, especially because I think people feel a responsibility, environmentally. People don't want to be just consuming and wasting. They don't want to be just throwing out bottles, every time they get a six-pack at the store. So I think people really enjoy the concept of showing up, buying a growler, taking it back and filling it up. It feels good, and also you are helping, you're being sustainable in the way you consume, which is something that I think is really attractive to people right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I also like to point out, we touched on this briefly, but Kathleen and I were involved in a protest earlier last year about giving money to small businesses. The council isn't giving as much money as it should. There's legislation in the District of Columbia that demands that a certain amount of government money go to small businesses. And in doing research for that, we found out some amazing statistics. For example, 75% of all the jobs created in America are created by small business. So they're so important to have small businesses out there. And it's so important for us to support these businesses, because they not only add jobs to the community, but they add character. You guys are doing a great job doing that. But, you know, so many cities are defined by the businesses they have. Detroit cars, you know, obviously. Milwaukee,
right.
Beer,
right.
And my favorite thing, the Harley Davidson. So, you know, every city seems to have its, you know, it's kind of niche, and it's glad to see that we're doing that in D.C. and we're getting away from just making politics and making the rest of the country miserable. You know, we're adding
that, you know, there are some politics positive. We can agree on.
Yeah. That's
you know,
right.
I do want to just really quickly mention, you know, you're totally right in supporting small businesses, not just like ours, but this is the backbone of this country. You know, there might be the big companies out there that have these big numbers, but day to day, these are the people and the businesses that maintain the economic cash flow of the country. You know, it's the people that you can support every day, whether it's a hardware store, a brewery, a corner store, a deli, you know, whatever it is. You know, so spend that money locally, spend it on those independently owned small businesses, and just think about where your dollar's going. Also in Congress right now, there's the Small Brew Act, which is, you know, meant specifically to help us. There's lots of ways that you can get involved, whether it's, you know, calling into government, letting them know the legislation that you think is going to support, you know, the small local businesses that you're interested in. And I just urge people out there to do it, because at the end of the day, our business is all about the public. It's about giving beer to the public. We have a beer named the public. So it takes the public support also to keep us in business, but furthermore to develop the marketplace that they want to see out there. So it's just something for people to remember, I think.
Well, we want to take a small break in a minute, but tell us, what is the Small Brewery Act, or the thing that's before Congress? What is the act actually attempting to do?
So it reexamines the amount of taxes paid by small breweries in this country, with the idea being to give a tax cut to these small, you know, independent, pretty much they're all independent businesses, so that we can hire more people. We can pay better wages. You know, we take a lot of pride in the wages we pay our folks, but we obviously we'd love to pay them more, but we'd also like to hire more people. We'd like to expand. We'd like to create more beer, brew more beer. So in the end, you know, when you look at it, it's a tax cut, but it ends up with developing more tax revenue overall, creating more jobs, and it all is based in supporting local, independently owned or small businesses. And that's what all of these microbreweries are, the brew pubs, small microbreweries like ours. You know, they're all just sort of small businesses, and especially a business that's very cash intensive, because we're buying our hops and our malt and everything, paying for that up front most of the time. And then it's, you know, 30 days to make the product, 30 days to sell it, and then 30 days to wait for the check to come back from the distributor. So before you know it, it's a pretty cash intensive business. So things like this can help. And I think that these are things that we like to enjoy as a society. So, you got to support the things that you want to stick around.
Well, and you know what? We give enough of those breaks to big business. You know, if we can bail out the guys on Wall Street, we should be able to help the small businesses that are the engine, economic engine of our country. And I'd just like to say, you know, that very often when we don't support small businesses, we shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, we used to have a couple of small businesses in Washington. One of them was Heckinger's, a hardware store. I know you remember them. You know, they were all run out of town by the big, you know, whatever, Home Depot or whatever. And we all went and paid $2 less for a light fixture or whatever we were buying. And now when you go to a hardware store, it's when you go to a Home Depot, it's amazing to find somebody who can tell you where the paint is or where the plumbing parts are. In at Hackinger's, you could go in and they'd actually tell you how to fix the sink. They'd tell you the part and tell you what you had to do. And we still have a small hardware store called Stroh-Schneider's in the area, and they still do that. Yep. And you know, let me tell you, it's worth the extra buck to have people that then spend the money back in your community. You know, you get the money back in the end too. That's the big thing, because you pay people locally, they spend the money locally, and we all do better. Well, we're going to take just a minute break and let everybody catch their breath a couple of minutes and play a song in honor of our guest, Brandon. I wanted to play a drinking song. But Kathleen, musical bully that she is, has picked this song. It's by The Call. So here's Let the Day Begin, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And we're back. We're back with Brandon Skahl, who's the CEO and co-founder of a wonderful business in the District of Columbia called DC Brow Brewing. And we're happy to have him as our guest today. And we want to ask you, Brandon, why statehood? Why did you get involved? Our show revolves around this issue. But I'd like to know what it is that motivates you to get involved, because I know that you're very involved in the movement, and we very much appreciate that.
Well, I mean, for Jeff and I, when we were first starting this company, it was just an issue that we really associated with. Growing up here, it had always been something that we were very passionate about. We saw a big injustice with, but it just seemed to us that nobody really seemed to make that big of a deal about it. We couldn't figure out why. I remember the first time that, you know, there was a presidential, caravan with those license plates on it. What a big accomplishment, yeah. Sort of, we all thought that was. And just the fact that somebody of importance bringing light to this issue that has been an issue here for so long. And for us, it was, hey, this is really a chance for us to educate people. Because, like I said before, it just seems like this is something that nobody is really aware of. And if they are aware of it, they're like, okay, so I guess their vote doesn't really mean as much. I don't really know. You know, and for us, it's here's a chance to sort of be a catalyst. You know, we put links on the beer can so people can go to the World Wide Web, you know, www.dcvote, whatnot, just click it in and then figure out something. Just figure out what's going on. Give us somebody a little bit of information, instead of people just being in the dark about this issue.
Well, wow. It looks like we have a caller on line 3. Let's see what her question is before we go on. Clementine, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
And thanks for calling in. Do you have a question for Brandon?
I don't really have a question for Brandon. I want to thank Brandon for deciding after growing up in the district or the environs that he would start his business here. The business of Washington, D.C. has always been government, and we need to change that. We need to make it a state so that we can entice people to come and work here.
Well, that's certainly, yeah.
I agree entirely.
Our opinion is that, maybe by changing the business from government to drinking, we'll all have a couple of beers and really get pissed off and march up there and tell those people what we think of them.
I'm really good at that, but that's not really what I was thinking. I was just thinking that to entice businesses back to the district rather than trying to scare them away because we've got high taxes and everything else, we should try to inspire people to come here so that it's a place that everybody wants to work.
Yeah.
I think what you're talking about is creating a culture that is attractive. And I think that we're starting to definitely see a strong culture that is, you know, attractive to people. We have a fantastic restaurant scene in this city now. We have some
award-winning restaurants. My God, when I moved here a quarter of a century ago, we had nothing.
That's right. I mean, there really was nothing like this. And a lot of these restaurants are also small businesses, independently owned. People who have left larger restaurants, gone out on their own, and they're pushing the boundaries of the food they're putting on with the beverage list. And I think, you know, jokingly about, well, let's all drink a bunch of beer and go, you know, scream for change. I think that beer is part of culture. And
it
beer is,
yes,
part of getting people involved, getting people excited in the same way that food is. But beer has always been a social lubricant. So
Back to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back to Rome, you're right.
It goes back to Egypt. It goes back, to the beginning of time.
We say
absolutely.
It tongue-in-cheek
and so
that.
Why not make the District of Columbia a place that people want to work? A lot of people want to work here because they get government jobs, but what we need to make it is a place that people want to work here because of its diversity.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
and where people
want
to stay, too, where people want to stay and raise their families also. I mean, you know, we just had our second child at Washington Hospital Center, had our first child there, too.
Yay.
And I think it's important that we want to have families or we try to encourage families to stay here, you know. Let's put down roots here. Let's make that decision. And I think I think it all weaves together, you know, because the more people that do that, the more call there's going to be for statehood, the more call there's going to be for all these issues. And I think that fabric will just keep getting stronger and stronger.
Well, thank you very much, Clementine, for calling in. We really appreciate it. Thank you. And with that said, I think that there is, do you feel that there's a strong kind of culture there for small businesses, a community that supports small businesses and you know, supports your local business? Do you think that there's a good culture there now, Brandon?
Yeah, I do. And I think we've even got groups out there like Think Local First that are helping us to push that further and further into the community. You know, we work with Think Local First a lot. Mari Rodella, who works with us, she's our community and cultural officer at the brewery. She has a lot of direct work with Think Local First. We put on a lot of events with them, and their focus isn't just beer or food. It's everything local, from, you know, that neighborhood boutique to the hardware store to perhaps an art dealer or something. But it's all basically focused on local business and local business, local culture.
Well,
I
was going to say we do say tongue in cheek that every great revolution started in a tavern, but that also happens to be true. That every great the French,
yep,
English, American revolutions all started in taverns.
I think you're totally right about that. Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you the question that's most important to me, Brandon. I know that you're very involved in the community, so I need to know what your political aspirations are. Will Kathleen and I be working on the Brandon for mayor, or even better, the Brandon for governor? The Brandon for governor campaign someday?
I'm staying away from that. I just want to make beer and sit back. I don't want to be too much involved in that. But you know, I do want to affect change where I can. But I appreciate what everybody in those roles do. But for me right now, I think I'm very comfortable just doing this.
You say that, Kathleen, but that's exactly what Hillary Clinton said when she was first asked 30 years ago.
That's true. No,
that's
not
right.
Now.
Just, right. She didn't want to do it.
Let me ask you a question, Brandon. You know, I've been helping with Michael since he's been involved in this issue. And he's a great senator, and I really respect him a lot. But I think I've always asked him, I've been shocked, like you said earlier in the show, about just that people have not, like, really demanded their rights, you know, demanded to have their vote count just like everyone else's. And, you know, we're everything like a state, and just, you know, for some reason, there's just this kind of disconnect, and people don't get that they have this right. They just think, well, we live here and we don't deserve anything. But do you see a change in the 30 and 40 year olds? Do you think now that they're settling here and maybe getting married and having babies, that they see the value in trying to become a state?
I do. And I think that it's something that's increasing, because I think it definitely comes as a result of being more and more involved in your community. And the more and more you get involved, the more and more you feel the injustice of it. And the more and more you feel like this is not something that we can let pass. And, you know, I think if there's definitely always been a strong sort of, you know, contingency of people who are in town for political aspirations. They know they're only going to be here for a few years. They're not really getting that much invested into the communities people are now. I think we definitely have a lot of people putting down roots now. I think there's definitely a lot of people who are finding other parts of the culture of the city to associate with besides just the politics, which you know, makes it more attractive as a long-term residency. And this city has a beautiful culture. You know, with our cans, we've got our cans branded sort of half of them. Our flagship series is very conventional, sort of, you know, conventional branding. And then we have our one-off signature release series, which is, you know, wild and crazy, and they represent a lot more, you know, the individual spirits of the city than the overall idea of what this city is. So, I think that part of the culture is more and more interested in issues like statehood, getting involved. And a lot of times, you know, just being around a city that has such political grounding does make you want to stand up for what you believe in. And I think that we are sort of starting to see that. And it's just a shame that for decades people have not really, you know, I don't want to say not care that much, because I think people have cared, but it might sort of be like, well, what can we really do about it? And I think also a lot of people didn't even really understand what it fully meant. And now we're really getting to a point where people are getting the education related to this issue to understand that this is not right. This is something that needs to change. It's unlike any other place. You know, in this country, and it's the capital of the country. And just because we choose to live here or are born here doesn't mean our rights are any more less than anybody else in this country. And that's what people need to think about.
Well, you know,
Sorry for that rant there.
And you know what? That's our great hope. One of the reasons that we reached out to you, and we reach out to other people do things that impact this new community that seems to be developing here in the district of a group of people we call millennials, who are moving into the district at somewhere between 800 and 1,000 a month. You know, one of the reasons that we reach out to people that deal with these people is because we do want to bring them into the fight, and we do see them slowly coming into the fight more and more, and that's important to us. And you know, there's a culture here. There's always been a great culture, as you point out, but it's been almost a subculture compared to politics. And you know, things like music. You know, we not only produce people like Marvin Gaye and Roberta Flack, but as far back as Pearl Bailey and Duke Ellington. You know, there've been a lot of great music comes out of the Washington. Most people don't know, for example, that we have some of the greatest gospel music in the country right here in D.C. Yep. And we have a very strong arts culture. And as Clementine pointed out, who called in, when I first moved here, I've been here for 45 years, but the restaurant scene wasn't very good. It's great now. It's right up there with Chicago and New York and other New Orleans and other big cities. I remember I'm a theater buff, and I remember coming out of the theater at 9 o'clock in the district, and there was no place to eat. Every place was closed. You know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. That's not the case anymore. We have U Street and H Street corridors and a lot of vibrancy going on. So if you're young and you're out there, move to D.C. Go ahead, Kathy.
Let me ask you something. You also have, you have about, what, 8 or 9 beers that you guys produce, right? That have, you know.
Yes. We have beers that we produce year-round. Then we have beers that we produce seasonally. And then we've also got beers that we just produce at a whim, you know, a one-off, or a beer that we really like but really have no intention of making a consistent offering.
Wow. And what's the one that you have that's kind of for, or to raise people's attention? Is it the Public Citizen that's kind of about statehood and about the situation?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So Public and Citizen are both sort of geared towards statehood knowledge, and getting that word out there and educating people. And those beers get as far up the coastline right now as Connecticut. We actually just did a one-time shipment to Boston to prime that market for a big festival we're doing up there, which you know, is obviously a city with a lot of historical significance. But we did drop a bunch of Public and Citizen up there not too long ago as well.
Well, and, you know, I have a question for you, Brandon. We created this drink, Kathleen and I, you know, and I mean, we got pretty plowed doing it because, it, you know, it was so difficult for us to come up with, you know, what we really wanted to do. How do you decide, you know, what criteria do you use to decide on not so much the naming of a beer, but exactly what it's going to taste like? How do you come up with that formula?
Well, we're fortunate as to the history of this fantastic industry. Styles in beer are nothing new. Those styles are changing and evolving, and new styles do come up. You know, most styles are historically based, and we have, you know, history of beer styles to follow when we put together a recipe. For example, the Pilsner that we just came out is based on a historic German Pilsner. So we're basically following in the footsteps of those who have come before us. We might do a little tweak here or there to make the beer a little bit unique to us, but also a lot of the natural ingredients like the water here in the district will help us to give it that touch of individuality. But we're basically, you know, brewing styles that we want to brew, types of beers that we enjoy, that we think would be marketable and at the same time tasty. So usually it's a brainstorming session of myself and Jeff and possibly our production manager, Chris, involved as well, where we're talking about what we want to brew next. You know, in industry, they say you do something you love, you never work a day in your life. I don't know if that's true, but if you do something you love, you're always excited about it. And that's when it comes to picking out styles, what we're going to brew next. That's always one of the most fun things when we decide actually the next beer we're going to make, because everybody gets really riled up.
I bet. Well, and you know, in researching the drink, it's funny because we tried to go back and figure out a way to tie it to the when the city began in 1801. And I did find out that beer really has much more of a rich history than hard alcohol does. You know, I was surprised to see that at the turn of the century and in the even less in the 1700s, there were like one or two types of hard liquor that people drank, even though there were many types of beer. I can see where you have a rich history to draw from.
And
it really is true. That's one of the reasons it's such an honor to be in this industry, because, you know, beer has done so much for the sustaining and developing of civilization, of culture throughout time. You know, the one of the reasons people first ended nomadic ways was, you know, to be where the barley was, to be where they could make food and where they could make drink. It's, you know, helped to fuel revolutions, as you said. I mean, it really is a beautiful, beautiful history. So one of the best things about working in this profession is that you feel like you're a part of something great.
Well, there we go. Maybe that's the next, maybe if you're not going to run for mayor, you can start the beer museum. You know, we have so many museums. I'm sure there's a beer museum somewhere.
We need a beer museum.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Right
we've
on the mall.
A lot of, we've got a museum for everything in the district.
We should have it for beer.
Maybe we should have a beer museum.
Well, you know, Brandon,
I agree.
It's great. It's great to have, and you know, I hate to say this. I can't believe I'm saying such young people like yourself and your partner that are doing this, because it's just nice to hear your enthusiasm and your passion for what you're doing, and that you tie it all in with giving back and being involved. And I was really impressed when I went on your website and saw there was a button for DC statehood. I mean, I've never really seen that anywhere else. And so I want to congratulate you on that, because that was like phenomenal. We were so excited. We said, I can't believe we found somebody who actually has DC statehood on their website. So it was great to see that.
Isn't that exactly what we're talking about? Like, you know, exactly. This is an issue that it seems like everybody just resides to being how it is. But the fact is that this is America, and we're able to stand up and change things that aren't right. So why not, you know, and putting that button on the computer is just about educating people.
Before we leave, because we're starting to run out of time, do me a favor, Brandon, and give that web address so people know where to go.
Absolutely. So it's www.dcbrow.com, and DC Brow is spelled DCBRAU. So www.dcbrau.com.
Well, I encourage people to go to that website. I encourage people out there to go to your local beer
Saturday
joint
event.
And have
guests
and or visit the brewery. Yeah, that was way fun. Or go order a DC Brow. I think if you go on their website, don't you tell people where they can buy your product?
Yeah, and so there is a click on the website. You can click on that. Also, every one of the places you mentioned at the beginning of the show, every single one of those serves our product. So you can drink it at any of those.
There you go.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. We hope you'll come back as things develop. For DC Brow, and give our regards to everybody that works there. I can't tell you, when Kathleen and I went there, everybody they were so nice to us, and they were so involved in our issue. And you know, Jeff Hancock and you did a great job of showing us around and showing us the ropes. So we very much appreciate you and what you're doing. Brandon, thanks for being on our show. America, we will see you next week, hopefully.
And go Thursday to those
yes.
bars and order a civil disobedience drink.
Yes, and a DC Brow.
And a DC Brow. DC right. Brow, civil disobedience. That sounds so good together.
Yes, it's like a Boilermaker.
Sure
it's a Boilermaker.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks, guys. Thanks, America.
Thanks.
See you next week. Give the people their right to vote.